Glory to Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The last few days have been rather, I guess I use the word, very weak word, interesting for me. There's been a lot of Josephs involved in the past few days. We've had Joseph McGonigal, who's been sick with cancer and who died yesterday evening. And Joe is Suzanne McGonigal's husband. Joe was not a member of the church, although Suzanne has been taking care of our building for forever. I mean, since I got here, she was already here, so I don't know how long she was doing the work before that. But in the 4 or 5 days when he came home, and probably even less than that, it might have been 3, that he came home from the VA hospital and was put into hospice care, I got to visit with him a few times and have some conversations that perhaps we only have with people, or can only have with people, when they're dying and when they know they're dying. And Joe knew he was dying, and he was facing up to it with what I would say was a good amount of peace and serenity and calm about him, at least on the outside, which is very often what people will show when the priest shows up. So I don't know too much more, but we did have a few conversations. And since I had been invited to be the person who would say some words at his funeral, it just seemed rather foolish to just say some words. It seemed as though what should happen is that I should say, "Hey, Joe, you know, you haven't been to church probably since you were a young man, probably since your time in the Roman Catholic Church. What do you think? Do you want to become a member of the church?" And so yesterday or Friday evening, I asked him that question. "Joe, do you want to become part of the church?" And Joe said, "Yeah." He was already very, very sick, could hardly speak. But he was able to make that response, knowing what I was talking about. It was probably on his mind, I would think. So I went over to his home and gathered at the house were his wife and his 3 children and their spouses and some in-laws and grandchildren. And so there were probably, between Friday night and Saturday morning, there were probably 30 or 40 people that I got to see. Yesterday when I went over to the house inviting Joe Gazal, so that was the second Joseph that was there for the weekend for me, to come and be the sponsor, the godfather for Joe McGonigal. When I went over there again, the whole family was there. And they were eating, and there was food there. They were the kids who are little kids all the way up from about 7 years old, I think, is the youngest. They were playing, they were doing what they do. And so we went and prayed the chrismation prayers and brought Joe into the Orthodox Christian Church. And the children were crying, you know, and there was emotion among the older people also as we did that. And it was a really most beautiful kind of thing that happened there. And we can extend from there, because this morning, after we get through with Divine Liturgy and after we've moved into the fellowship hall, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to bring another Joseph into the church. And this Joseph that's his middle name. It's Elias Joseph Bevan, who will be, as a little baby, he will be brought into the church. And so there's all these Josephs that have been floating around for me over the weekend. And when I put these together, because it's one of those timely sorts of things that we can look at in the experience of a person's life. I mean, on the one hand, we have what could be called a deathbed conversion, not dissimilar to the Emperor Constantine, who, while he was a believer in God and even could be called at heart a Christian, waited until his deathbed, because in the early understanding in the church, you did not get to go to confession just as many times as you needed to if you did serious things. No, pretty much you were going to be limited to maybe 3 opportunities to to get back in if you really have sinned greatly. And so Constantine was one of those who was, let's say, very careful about that, very concerned that he would not be able to maintain his Christian life, and he didn't want to be shut out of the kingdom. So in sort of that way, Domogonigal, who I don't know really what he did with most of the middle of his life, but at the end, he is now, and we could say much in the way, in the fashion of the thief on the cross, although I don't think Joe was a thief, that at that last moment, you know, as we pray, in one moment thou didst grant paradise to the thief. And so Joe had that experience. Now on the other hand, as we bring little Elias, Joseph Bevan, into the church, he's at the very front end of things, and one could say, who has the advantage? You know, in some ways, while we can never truly plan for it in terms of our looking to perhaps wait till the last moment, you know, we hear about those jailhouse conversions, those sorts of things. They are very real, but not to be planned for, because those kinds of plans seem to be much, much more in God's mind than they can be in any of our minds. So little Elias, coming into the church, having the benefit of parents and grandparents who come to this church, will be called on through his life to struggle to live out what the servant of God, Joseph McGonagall, might have been said to have received rather easily. That the question was asked, he said yes, and he came into the church right before, literally a couple of hours before he departed this world. Now, when we look at some of the words that we heard from St. Paul this morning, and when we look at what the gospel lesson finished with today, we're given some indicators of perhaps how we should be looking at that time in between those of us who call ourselves and who have been baptized into the Orthodox Christian Church. We started out by hearing the Apostle Paul say, "Be watchful. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong." And those are good words for us almost under any circumstance. But it's rather interesting because at the center of those words, I think we must look the hardest at that "stand firm in your faith" phrase. Because if I am watchful, if I'm awake, attentive, and alert to things that aren't true, to things that aren't real, then my being awake, attentive, and alert is not really of much use to me. And I can be very courageous, and I can be very strong and bold in the things of this world. But if they're all about the wrong goals in life, if they're all about perhaps me as opposed to you, if they're all about things that are false instead of things that are true, then my bravery and my courage and my strength are all to no avail. So in between those two phrases is "stand firm in your faith." Now, if I'm going to stand firm in something, I must first know what that something is. And while we believe that God in his mercy and love and in the depth of the mystery of how he operates, only he truly knows of who of us are desiring him with the kind of depth that is real and true, nonetheless, between that point at which, whenever it was, when it was as a baby or whether it was further down the line that we came into the church, it is incumbent upon us from that point on to take those things that God gives us, all those advantages, as if we are standing or sitting in this church right now, we have been given many advantages in regard to our faith. But it is up to us to make a decision to stand firm in the faith. Which doesn't mean that we can somehow, when we complete whatever level of our Christian education we think we need to consider, that we consider it a done deal, job finished. Because if Joe had taken that kind of opinion, and perhaps he had for most of his life, then he would have never been able to say yes to my question as to whether he wanted to depart this world as a part of the body of Christ. So let us, as we hear and as we see in our own lives these kinds of things going on around us, let us not be deaf and inattentive to these kinds of things. Because this is absolutely deadly serious business that we're talking about. This is not the frivolous, puffy, light, light-hearted sort of spirituality that the world would offer us as somehow, you know, good and maybe even a little bit useful and certainly feel good. No, this is the reality of what it means to be a creature made in the image and likeness of a God who is totally free. And in our being in His image and likeness, that is what we are. And so we get to make the choices. We get to see the options that we have. We get to look and to choose very freely. And God in no way denies us that freedom. In fact, He made us for it. Because without that freedom, we cannot choose Him. Without that freedom, we cannot love Him. Without that freedom, we cannot strive to be who He is, which is what He wants to grant us. So between that point, when we came into the church, when we were given through Holy Chrismation, that gift of the seal of the Holy Spirit, and the people around us said, "Seal." When we made that confirmation of the faith, when we made that choice, when we began our walk in Christ, until the moment of our departure from this world, there's where the very frightening, difficult, hard work of living that out exists. And what we found at the end of this morning's gospel is part of why these things are so hard. We heard Christ quoting from the Psalms, "The very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner." And so it is rather obvious that the world rejects what we are called to believe. The world turns away from what we are called to glorify. The world turns its back on what we are called to worship and chooses some other kinds of things. And that, in a nutshell, is about what our lives are up to. That's about what it's all about. And we can get distracted by all of the other things that are part of it, all the little details of what will be our story, all the kinds of things that people might say about us when we come to that point where Joe McGonigal is living right now. Oh, there'll be lots of things, many details, many things to laugh about, many things to wonder at, very perhaps good things. But if we have not been paying attention to the things that matter most, or perhaps, as Mary and Martha discover in one of their encounters with Jesus, to that one thing needed, if we have not chosen that, then we are going to be in some level of darkness and trouble. So let us pray that as these days of the Josephs and of on the one hand, one in our midst becoming a Christian at the very end, making his confession of faith at the very end of his life, and as we as a church community will be welcoming into our midst a new baby Christian, Elias Joseph Bevan, let us pray that we can come to see our own lives in that context, in the beginning, whenever it was of our Christian life, with an eye on, a very clear eye on, the end of our life, which will be that moment at which we will see just how we truly did in between those two points. And let us pray that God will bless us with his mercy and love, as he always does, to choose wisely, to strive to do that work the best we can, to our salvation and to his glory. Amen.